Enjoying Missions Month all month long, and Brother Jordan Smith is with us, and he's heading to Albania, and specifically going to work with the deaf, and he's going to tell us more about that. And the deaf are a really, within every culture, they are a subculture in those cultures, and they're really a minority of people that are many times overlooked and forgotten about. And very important that they get reached as well. Brother Jordan, you come ahead and you tell us a little bit about it. And he's got a video he'll be showing and then teaching the adult Sunday school class.
All right. Thank you, Pastor, so much for allowing me to be here. It's good to be here. Thank you to all of you. Many of you have already come back by the table, grab prayer cards. I appreciate your kindness. Like you said, my name is Brother Jordan Smith. I'm a missionary to the deaf in Albania. And what Pastor was saying was 100% accurate. The deaf are the most unreached people group on the face of the earth. Only 2% of all the deaf around the world claim Christianity. 2%. I can't even imagine that. And it's hard. It can often be hard for us to imagine what it's like to be deaf because, you know, we aren't deaf. We don't know what it's like. And I've often thought about that recently with these last couple months. I actually just got back from an extended trip into West Virginia, had many churches down there, got an opportunity to preach my first sermon in ASL, and wow, that was an experience. But it was wonderful. It was my first deaf church, and the pastor of the church was hearing. He'd been working with the deaf for nearly 40 years in deaf ministry and everything. And just talking to him, he said, with the deaf, they live a very solitude life. If they don't know other deaf people, they live a life of solitude, a life of loneliness. They tend to gather and just be around themselves and hang around, you know, other deaf people because there is a language barrier. And it's sad to say, but even in a lot of churches, he said, with churches that have deaf ministries, he said, thank God for them, but even still, there's kind of a division there, and it's heartbreaking, but it can't be helped. Like I said, there's a language barrier there. And with the deaf, they love having their own church, their own, and this was a deaf church. All the members were all deaf. One lady was hard of hearing, and she could speak in English a little bit, but working with them, it was amazing, just an amazing experience, but it was also very humbling, thinking, here's people, a small minority who have been reached with the gospel. They hear the gospel preached every Sunday. They know the truth. They've prayed and they've trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior. And we thank God for that. But there's deaf people everywhere in the world. All around the world, the deaf are nearly unreached. I know a few missionaries who are over in the field now. A missionary in Nepal. A missionary in India. There are missionaries to the deaf. And the way they talk about the deaf, they said the deaf are completely shut out from society. The people want nothing to do with them. Their own family shuns them. Imagine you cannot hear. You're born that way, and that's the sad part. Many of them are born that way, but the families have no idea what to do with them. They shun them, and they're shut away from society. They're usually uneducated. They're unreached with the gospel, but I thank God that there are missionaries who are going to the deaf. I've met more and more. I'm sure you know Ashley Taylor. She's going to the deaf in South Africa. I know of missionaries to the deaf, like I said, in India, Nepal, also Kenya. And the gospel's being preached to these people, but yet all around the world, there still is just not enough. And I thank God for people who are willing to minister to the deaf and learn sign language. And let me say this, if you've ever thought of learning sign language, please do. Please give it your best shot. It can be difficult, yes. It is another language. I'm learning that every single day. I learn sign language, but it is well worth learning. It can happen. My sign language teacher in Bible college, she didn't learn sign language till she was an adult. She's fluent now, but her son was born deaf. And she would talk about it in class and say, you know, this was a monumentous task. She said, I was scared. I didn't think I could learn sign language, and it was long, it was hard, but it can be done. But I would encourage you to pray Pray for missionaries going to the deaf. Pray for missionaries in general. I thank God you have a missions month. I think that's exciting. You get more. You get different missionaries every week, and you get an insight into what life is like for them. And we are just regular people. Let me say that. We are not super Christians. All right. I thought that as a kid, that missionaries were just like basically prophets of God. But they're people who answered a call to do what God wanted them to do. That's it. Anybody can do anything. Anybody can do anything for God. God can use anybody. And so I would encourage you, pray for your missionaries. They need prayers. Pray that the more of the deaf are reached around the world. And the thing is this, we don't have to go to foreign fields to reach the deaf. They're here in Massillon. They're up in Cleveland, where I'm from. They're all around Ohio, all around our country, around our world. Please pray more that God sends more missionaries to the deaf. And so just please, I would encourage you, pray for us as missionaries as we go into the world. Pray as I go to Albania. I'm on deputation now, and it's going pretty well. It's starting to pick up more and more, and I'm excited. But continue to pray that it goes quickly. We're going to show the video now. It tells a little bit about Albania's history, what they dealt with communism, and the way it is, the way things are now, and my plans in the ministry. But once again, thank you all of you for your kindness. Pastor, thank you once again.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله.
What you are hearing is a Muslim call to prayer. It can be heard 4 times a day throughout the nation of Albania. To Muslims, it is very sacred, but to Christians, it is a dark reminder of the spiritual need in Albania. Albania's Islamic roots go back for centuries. But in the 1940s, communism took hold of Albania, led by the cruel dictator Enver Hoxha. He ruled Albania with an iron fist, completely stamping out all religion. He tore down the churches and mosques, burned all the Bibles and Qurans, and successfully established atheism as the national religion. For nearly 50 years, Albania never had a missionary. In 1990, just 5 years after Enver Hoxha's death, students in the capital city of Tirana tore down the enormous bronze statue of Enver Hoxha, marking the fall of communism. Although many Albanians have heard the gospel, most of them have not. And only 8 Baptist churches exist in the country now, for a population of about 3 million people. Albania is truly a forgotten nation, and amongst those people are the deaf. My name is Brother Jordan Smith, and I am a missionary to the deaf of Albania. The Lord gave me a burden for the deaf people of Albania while on a missions trip in 2016. It broke my heart to hear that these people have never had a missionary of any kind from any religion. Most, if not all of them, have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel, and many of them never will. It's heartbreaking to think that for many of them, the very first words they will hear are, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." The deaf must be reached with the gospel. My ministry goals include starting outreach ministries to reach out to the deaf people, gospel tract distribution and soul winning, preaching the Word of God, Bible study and discipleship, and planting churches that minister to both the deaf as well as hearing family members. Time is drawing short. The return of Jesus Christ is nigh. Please pray how the Lord may have you to partner with this ministry. Who will go and who will pray for these people in the lost and forgotten nation of Albania?
I will go, I must obey, for Jesus is the answer. I know He's the way, because He loved His voice, I know. While there are lost who need to hear, I will go,
I will go,
I will go,
I will go.
Yes, I will go.
Turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. No doubt you know what this passage includes, and no doubt this being Missions Month, you've already heard this preached, and this is nothing new to you, but some of the Lord's laid on my heart. Whenever a missions conference, Missions Month, or maybe a missions emphasis Sunday rolls around, we tend to go to this passage, and often we hear it preached, you know, the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, at the end of the book of Matthew, and we hear it, and I fear we take it for granted sometimes, because we do hear it a lot, and it's nothing new as a concept to us, and we can tend to take it for granted, but this is something very, very important. That we believe in as churches, and that is the Great Commission, preaching the gospel to the world. And it's something that's absolutely necessary, something we need to keep in our minds and realize how important this truly is, because without it, the gospel is not spread. And there are a lot of people today who will sit there and say, you know, the Great Commission, it doesn't work anymore. Going soul winning doesn't work anymore. People don't want to hear the gospel the way they did years ago. And maybe people don't want to hear it as much. But never believe anybody who says that the Great Commission does not still work. Never believe them. They are lying to you. Let's be real. They're being a lazy Christian. But just being real. The Great Commission absolutely still works. If it did not work, then God would not be calling missionaries anymore. God would not, you know, this wouldn't be in the Bible in the first place, because the Bible does not change. The Bible cannot be changed. It cannot be destroyed. Things don't go out of date, out of style in the Word of God. The Great Commission still works. But what is so important about the Great Commission? Why is it so significant? And I want us to look at that today. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 18. It says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Before we start, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we get to be here this morning. Thank you so much for Pastor Rice and the ministry he has, Lord, in this church, and just the burden they have for the lost, Lord. I pray that you would bless them in amazing ways, Lord. I pray that this missions month would be encouraging to them and challenging to them. And Lord, maybe there's somebody who you would call to go and be a missionary, maybe on the foreign field, maybe here in the United States, Lord. I pray that they would answer that call, Lord, that they would not fight it nor give excuses why they couldn't, Lord, but they'd rather surrender to it, Lord. I pray that you would give me your words to preach this morning. I pray that you would help us to glean something and take away something from this that we can apply to our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here in the here in Matthew 28, this is the first passage in the Gospels where Jesus gives the Great Commission to what I'll be honest with you, to the church. I believe the Great Commission was given to the church. The reason being is we see here where Jesus is speaking to, you know, his followers right here. But he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The only organization that has the authority to baptize anybody is the church. And I believe that's one of the reasons the Great Commission was given to the church. Also, I believe it wasn't given to individuals. It wasn't given to the disciples. The reasons being is, one, if Jesus gave the Great Commission to the disciples, then the Great Commission died with the disciples. Also, God didn't give the Great Commission to individuals. For this reason, an individual cannot reach the entire world with the gospel. They cannot go into all the world and preach the gospel. But rather, God calls certain people to go to certain areas, as we'll see later on. But we see, first of all, the purpose of the Great Commission. Now, the Great Commission, one thing I love about the Great Commission is simply this. It was given by Jesus Christ himself. That means it's an eternal commission, because it was given by God himself. It's an eternal commission. It's a commission that will not, cannot, and never will be changed. It's something that God is going to use to spread the gospel throughout the entire world until the rapture happens, which, Lord willing, is soon, because this world's just a mess. But and it's hard. Isn't it hard, though? As born-again Christians, there's a part of us that just wants the rapture to happen right now at this very moment. We're begging for it to happen. But yet on the other side, we're like, yeah, but the world's so lost, though. More people need to be saved. And I guarantee you that every single one of us in here have a person on our heart, whether it's a friend or family member or whoever, someone on our heart who we're saying, man, I hope Jesus doesn't come back until they are saved. I know I have at least several. But I thank God that one day he is coming back. But until then, we have the Great Commission given by Jesus Christ himself, which is meant to spread the gospel throughout the entire world. And we see here the purpose of the Great Commission is to reach the lost. And we see the Great Commission has three parts, and we're going to get into the pattern of it later on. But the Great Commission has three parts. That is, go and preach the gospel, baptize, and then it says teaching them to observe all things. That is discipleship. We're to go and preach, baptize, and disciple those who get saved. And the purpose of this is, you know, one, this is how the Lord's church grows. People get saved, they come into the church, they're baptized, they're now a member of that church. But understand something. When that person, and I never realized this until I went to Bible college, and so I forget who was teaching on it, but they said that when a person gets saved, they come into the church, they're baptized, and they become a member of that church. As they're discipled, what are they taught? They're taught what the Bible is, what the Bible says. They're taught, you know, who God is and who Jesus is and how we should live. But also something that is often neglected, that should not be neglected, is that person should be taught how to go and win souls. When a person is discipled, they need to be discipled to also go into all the world, preach the gospel to everywhere they go, pass out gospel tracts, you know, what it means to soul win. They're meant to learn these things so that the gospel can be reached throughout the entire world. Because you think about this, if you have one person who goes out and wins souls, all right, they go out, they knock on someone's door, they talk to this person, they get saved, they come into the church, they're baptized, they become a member of that church. What happens? They get discipled. And now they become a soul winner as well. Now you have two people going out. And that's just saying, suppose there's one person in this entire church who goes soul winning. Lord willing, there's many people who go out soul winning. And what happens is those two people go out. They repeat the pattern. And more and more people get saved, they get discipled, they get shown and told how to win souls as well. And then they do the exact same thing. They keep going. They keep winning souls. And sooner or later, your soul winning group begins to grow. So do the results. Because I believe the Lord allows us to reap depending on what our depending on how faithful our sowing is. And understand something. Just because someone goes soul winning and it doesn't seem like they win many souls to Christ, understand, just because that happens does not mean that the Lord's not blessing them. I cannot tell you how many missionaries struggled for years and not one soul got saved. William Carey, I believe it was 7 years. That's almost two full terms for modern day missionaries. 7 years without a single convert. Not a single preacher in this entire nation would support a missionary like that. I'm telling you, but we see he was faithful. And what happened? The gospel was preached in India and thousands got saved. We see people were faithful. We see throughout history people being faithful in the Great Commission, and they're faithful. They keep going on, and the Lord eventually blesses them. And when the harvest comes, oh my goodness. And let me tell you something. When the Lord blesses, the world cannot even come close to it. Understand that. I heard that recently. Someone said that the devil is very good at giving you instant gratification. He may give you instant blessings, quote unquote. But yet we know they're not blessings, obviously. But the person was saying the devil can give you what seems like blessings. Sin can give you what seems like blessings and fun and something good right off the bat. But the end result is awful. Meanwhile, it may be hard at first serving God. It may be difficult. But what does the Lord say? Be faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But what happens when a person is faithful and they serve the Lord and they continue to sow and work and labor for the Lord, the end result is beyond anything we could ever comprehend. I'll be honest with you. One other thing I love about the Great Commission is simply this. The Lord uses us. The Lord uses all of us to share the gospel. You realize He could have done it any way He chose. He could have chosen any way to spread the gospel throughout the whole world. But what does He do? He uses us, finite human beings, who fail Him daily, more than once daily, who struggle at times, who struggle in our faith, and we have hard times. But what does God do? He uses us in spite of ourselves. Thank God for that. He's so faithful, and when we sin, He forgives us. When we pray and confess, and when we do all that, but He uses us to spread the gospel through the Great Commission. But we see the purpose of the Great Commission. Secondly, we see the pattern of the Great Commission. Like we said before, the church is essential for the Great Commission. The Great Commission was given to the church. The church is essential. You cannot operate the Great Commission outside of the church. Because we see the pattern that was given. We were to go and preach the gospel, preach salvation, preach the gospel, preach Jesus Christ to them. When they get saved, we bring them into the church. We take them under our wing. They get baptized. They become a member of the church. And then what happens? We disciple them. We teach them right and wrong. We teach them what the Bible says. We teach them how to soul win. And we take them under our wing and help them grow in the Lord. And we see that this was the pattern that Jesus gave. One thing I love that Jesus did was He didn't just leave the disciples high and dry. He didn't just give them a command. He gave them the pattern for everything they were to do. He told them, you know, what to do. Understand something. When God gives us a job to do, never for one moment is He going to abandon us to just let us figure it out on our own. Not for one moment. The Lord is faithful to us. He always gives us the tools that we need. And we're going to see that a little more of that in the morning service. But we see Jesus gave them the pattern of, you know, what they were going to be doing. He says it's three part. Go and preach the gospel, baptize, disciple them. He gave it to them clear cut. And thank God for that, because imagine knowing the disciples, imagine what the Great Commission would be if the disciples would have thought of it. The Great Commission would no longer be around today, let me tell you that. But because God gave the Great Commission, it works. The Great Commission always works. But we don't just see a pattern of what to do. Jesus also gave a pattern of how to do. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Jesus spoke these words once again before ascending into heaven. But we see Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Here, Jesus gives the pattern of how to get this done. We see Jesus says, you know, you're going to receive power. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and you are and all of you are going to be my witnesses, starting very first off in Jerusalem. For us, Jerusalem, for you, for your church, would be Massillon, Ohio. Jesus says you're going to spread the gospel into all the world, but don't you dare forget your own local town. Don't forget your hometown. Don't forget your local communities. He warned the disciples against that. They were to start in Jerusalem. They weren't to just start sending people out through all the world. He says, start in Jerusalem. Reach the people in Jerusalem. And they did. They preached the gospel. Multitudes were getting saved. 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. And it said multitudes later on. And daily people were getting saved. Daily people were baptized and added to the church. It was an unbelievable result. God was blessing the disciples and blessing his servants as they were preaching the gospel. And eventually got to the point where the gospel had just been preached in Jerusalem. And so later on, it began to branch out. We see Jesus says, "And you should be my witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Next step was Judea. It was the neighboring regions. For me, whenever I think about it, I always think about Judea as the state of Ohio. Neighboring towns, neighboring cities. Often, you know, my home church has done this when we would do big soul winning events, if you will. We'd go out and we would, you know, we'd reach Mayfield Village where my home church is. But then we would start branching out into other neighboring towns like Highland Heights, Mayfield Heights, Richmond Heights, and Euclid and other communities like that. This is the idea that Jesus is saying to them. He says, I want you to go past Jerusalem. I want you to go into all the neighboring regions. Don't forget the rest of the area. Don't forget the region. For us, don't forget the state of Ohio. Good heavens. God knows we need the gospel in Ohio. But I'll tell you, the gospel needs to be preached throughout our state. I thank God we live in a state that's pretty conservative. It's pretty conservative, all things considered. But I think about other states, and that's honestly the next part. He says, in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria. Samaria was a neighboring region. It was also an area no one ever wanted to go to. You know, Michigan. No, I'm just kidding. But Samaria was the neighboring regions. For us, that would be other states, neighboring states throughout our country. Places that are lost, places that maybe have less of a faith in God than ours does. Have you seen some of the areas in this country? Have you seen some of the things that people are pushing for and legislation that's been passed in recent years and just all these things going on in our country? And I'm burdened about that because I think about it and it's an election year. So naturally, you know, vote for the right people. And please, by all means, go vote. All right. Don't neglect that. I've heard someone told me this stat. They said if all people who profess to be born again Christians voted, they would rule the election. They would have ruled every single election since the 1800s, just by the Christian vote. Why don't they? Simply this: a lot of Christians just don't vote. So please go vote. But enough of that. Being real, it's an election year, so naturally everyone's like, hey, go vote, and please do. But that's not going to change things. It will somewhat politically, but spiritually, our country will be just as lost as it ever was. What's going to change things is the gospel being preached, because only the gospel can change a person's life. The gospel needs to be preached throughout our entire country, and I thank God for evangelists and missionaries who will go to neighboring communities, neighboring states, and they'll go into places no one thinks to go to. and they'll go and they'll preach the gospel there. I've met missionaries in the past year and a half on deputation. You meet other missionaries going to conferences. I've met missionaries who are going around, you know, traveling. They're just traveling as evangelists, preaching the gospel literally everywhere they can. I've met missionaries who are starting Christian camps in other states. I've met missionaries going to the Native Americans out west. And it's amazing. It's amazing. The gospel is being taken through missionaries to all these other parts of our country and other states. I thank God for that, but it's not enough. There are 330 million people in this country. So many of them, the majority of them are lost. We cannot forget our own country. If we lose our own country, we're not going to be able to send missionaries into other nations. Just being real. We cannot lose our own country, and shame on us if we send missionaries into the foreign fields, into the darkest corners of the earth, and yet we forget our own country. Our own neighborhood hasn't been reached with the gospel. Our own neighbors, at the very least, haven't heard the gospel. Understand this. When we go out soul winning, it is not our job to go and save people. We cannot save ourselves, let alone other people. All we are meant to do is preach the gospel faithfully. And shame on us if we profess to be born-again Christians, we serve in a church, we're active in a local, good Bible-preaching independent Baptist church, and yet our neighbors haven't even heard the gospel. Shame on us. We must share the gospel with a people in our own country. Without it, we're going to lose our country. And then finally, the uttermost part of the earth. Understand something. Not everybody's going to go to a foreign field. God calls certain people to go to certain parts of the world. That's fine. Understand that is what God called them to do. Just because God called them doesn't mean they're any more of a Christian. Once again, we as missionaries, we are regular people. Most of us, if you would have told us when we were younger Christians that we'd be going as missionaries to whatever country we're going to, we would all either laugh or be scared out of our minds. If you would have told me as a kid that I was going to be a missionary to the deaf of all people, oh my God, I would have laughed in your face. But I thank God because he gives a burden. Quite often the Lord will give a burden to a missionary over a country. I'll never forget going to Albania. Whatever it was, I was first going to Massillon Baptist College. It was my first year. I was a freshman. And I'd always wanted to do something that I'd never gotten a chance to do. I'd always wanted to go on a missions trip. Always wanted to go. I'd never had the opportunity. So I got to college and I said, Lord, I want to go on a missions trip. If you want me to this summer, show me where. That's it. That's all I prayed. And when I did, about a week later, Brother Mike Drust shows up. He's a missionary. He's been in Albania for a long time now. He's got ministries now all throughout the world that he's a part of. And he gave a report about the mission work he had going on in Albania. And for whatever reason, the Lord just smote me with a burden. And I could not get over it. I wanted to help him. I wanted to work with him. And I got to go to Albania on a missions trip. And it was the best time. And my burden only grew. And the whole time I was praying, Lord, I want to be a missionary here. I want to be a missionary here, Lord, please. But I want to reach people who've never heard the gospel. People who've never been reached with the gospel before. And the Lord brought my attention through something Brother Drust said. The Lord brought my attention to the deaf. And I began praying about that and praying. I became burdened about that. But quite often the Lord will give that burden before he calls the missionary. And like I said, it's not to say we're better than anyone else, because we're not. But understand something. Anything that any missionary does on a foreign field, anything they do, all of you can do right here in Massillon, Ohio. Most, if not all of you, will probably never go to Albania, but I don't live in Massillon. You will meet people this side of eternity that I never will. You'll have an impact in someone's life that I never will. I don't work at the same place as some of you work. I don't go to school some of the places some of you went to school, maybe. I don't know a lot of the people you do. But you can have an impact in their life. You can share the gospel with them. But the Lord calls certain to go, kind of like what he did with Paul. The Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. You know, for the work that God had for them. He chose them. But we see thirdly and lastly, we see the power and the promise of the Great Commission. Back in Matthew 28, Jesus started everything off by saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And I thank God for that. What? Imagine if we were given a commission by someone who had absolutely no power to give it. We'd be in trouble. But Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. God gave him that power. He starts off by saying that, and look how he ends it. He says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Why is that so significant? Simply this: we have power. Right? Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." But also, we have a promise that Jesus is never going to leave us. Meaning this: when we go soul winning, when we go preach the gospel, when missionaries go into a foreign field, Jesus is with us every single step of the way, and we get to enjoy some of that power. Because don't think for a moment, if Jesus is going with us, he's not going to give us the power to preach the gospel boldly and faithfully for those who need to hear it. Every step of the way, Jesus is with us, and he promised that he's never going to leave us in any situation whatsoever. He's going to be with us every single step of the way. And by the way, he has every bit of power given to him by God in heaven and earth. This is the power and the promise of the Great Commission. We have a promise that this is going to be successful. And like I said, when we do it, we need to prove that we're faithful. Not everybody who hears the gospel is going to want to hear it. I've had plenty of doors slammed in my face. But I've had plenty of people sit there and listen intently and soak it up like a dry sponge. Because let's be real, people today are scared. I've talked to so many people who have ministries at fairgrounds. They set up booths. They spread the gospel at fairs and different events like that. And all of them tell me, they talk to people and they say, people are scared. They're scared of things that are happening nowadays. They're scared of what's going to happen. What's beyond this? I can't tell you how many times I've heard people from my generation sit there and say, "Why am I here? What is the point of life? Is there life after death? Is there any purpose in life? Why, you know, does anything even matter?" And I want to say, "Hey, guess what? There's a book that tells you all about it." But sad to say, a lot of them don't want it. But naturally, our sin nature is not going to. They're lost in sin. Why would they want the Bible? It's our job to take it to them. It's our job to share it with them. Because the Bible says no man naturally seeks after God. It's not in our sin nature to do so. And understand something. Woe unto us if we don't share the gospel. Especially since every single one of us who is here, who has prayed and trusted in Jesus Christ our Savior, was told by somebody. Someone came to us and told us. Someone shared the gospel with us. Someone said something that we listened and we accepted what they said. Someone gave you a gospel tract, if that's how you heard about the gospel. All of us have prayed and trusted in Jesus Christ our Savior thanks to somebody being faithful to what God told them to do. That shouldn't stop with us. We must go into all the world. This is the significance of the Great Commission. Understand, it still works. It always will still work. Forever. This is how the Lord wants the gospel spread. This is what works. We need to do it. Not just because pastor tells us to, not just because someone tells us to, some missionary gets up and, you know, talks about his mission field and gives a very heartfelt story. God himself said this is what we are meant to do. And like I said, it's easy. It can be challenging, but it's also pretty easy to do. Anybody can pass out a gospel tract. Kids can do that. In fact, kids are perfect for it. Because if a kid walks up to an adult and hands him a gospel tract, there's not a single adult who's going to say, "No, I don't want that. Get away from me." They're going to take it. Now, if I walk up to them, they got their walls up. They're like, "I don't want, you're nuts. Get away from me." But we can talk to our neighbors. We can give gospel tracts. We can leave them at restaurants on tables with a nice tip. Don't you dare leave a gospel tract and no tip. That is bad taste. I know I've heard of people doing that, and I'm just thinking, shame on them. They're making everyone else's job harder. Leave them in grocery store shopping carts. Give them to people at the cash register. Go door to door soul winning with the church. You don't even have to be the one who talks. Go and be the silent partner who prays. Understand, pray for us, because as we go out and soul win, the devil goes out and tries to mess everything up. All of us need to preach the gospel in some way, shape, or form. And we all can do it. Because even if we don't know what to say, even if we're nervous, we say, I don't know what to say, I'm not good at talking to people at the door, I'm not good at it. Guess what? The Lord gives you the words. As we're gonna see in the morning service. The Lord can give you the words. He's done it for me. It's amazing how it happens. To wrap it all up, the Great Commission, it still works. We need to do it. Reach our local communities. Reach our state. Reach our country. And then if maybe there's someone here who's the Lord wants to call them into the mission field. The Lord says, I want you to go. Maybe you're fighting the call. I'll talk a little bit more about that in the morning service, but maybe the Lord's calling you. And you're fighting that call. You're saying, no, I don't want to go. Please surrender to the call. If the Lord, if you know the Lord's calling you to preach, the Lord's calling you to go to the mission field, don't fight it. I fought it for years. It's not a good place to be. Surrender to that. Give everything to God. Watch him work. It's amazing. The Great Commission does still work, and it's our job to go and preach the gospel, but don't worry, Jesus is with us every step of the way, and he gives us the power to do it. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much we get to be here this morning. Lord, I thank you so much for the Great Commission and its effectiveness in reaching the world with the gospel, Lord. It's done it before. It could do it again. I pray that we would take it seriously. I pray that you would work in our hearts and in our lives. I pray that we would be fully surrendered to do whatever you want us to do, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.